Nesechtes Bab Metzia, Daf Lamed Hey, 15 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Hey Omed Aleph, and we are middle discussing the din of Rav Huna, and Rav Huna stated on Daf Lamed Aleph Obeys that Rav Huna, Mashpina Isa Shvua Shein Rishusai, that if there's a scenario where, for example, a Bala Bekodin goes over to a Shein Mechinam and he asks for his item back, and the Shein Mechinam is potter for Gneva Veda, and the Shein Mechinam states that although it was stolen, I'm still going to pay you back your money. So our Mishnah taught us that if ultimately we find a Ganav, the Ganav would be chayiv to pay kefil or dal v'hei to the Shein Mechinam and not to the Bala Bekodin. And Rav Huna states that even though that is the din, however, we would still require the Shein Mechinam to make a shvua that he actually doesn't have this item in his rishus any longer. And Rav Huna taught us my time that what is the reason chayshina shema einav nasim ba, that we have to be chayish that maybe the Shein Mechinam wanted this item and therefore the Shein Mechinam actually lied to the Bala Bekodin and he claimed that the item was either lost or stolen, and then he looked like a good guy that he was saying that even though I'm part of for Gneva Veda, I'm still going to pay you. And Lamaisa, he was really trying to steal this item from the Bala Bekodin. And as we saw yesterday, the Gemara asked a question from a Mishnah Masechta Shavuos, where the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos brought down four cases. And yesterday's Daf focused on the second of the four cases, which was called the Seif of the Reisha. However, today's Gemara will focus on the third case of the Mishnah, which the Gemara will call the Reisha of the Sefer. And the third case of the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos taught us that if a Loiva comes to Bezdin and claims that the Malva lent him $100 and the Malva took a mashkin from him that was worth $200 and the Malva lost that mashkin and therefore the Malva owes the Loiva $100 and the Malva responds and says that although it's true that I lent you $100 but the mashkin was also worth $100 and therefore now that I lost the mashkin you don't owe me anything but I also don't owe you anything. And the Mishnah stated potter that the Malva will be potter from making any shvua as l'maisa the Malva was kaifa akol and wasn't made of a mixas. And our Gemara now begins Rav Huna batachlifa mishmeid Rava Amma. Rav Huna bat Achlifa says over the name of Rava, Reisha the Sefer to Yufta Rav Huna, that the Reisha of the Sefer that we just mentioned will be a Tiyufta to this dinner Rav Huna. And as we explained, that the third case of the Mishnah stated, Selah Havisani Yalav, Shtayim HaYashava, that if the Loiva says to the Malva that you lent me $100 and I gave you a Mashkin which was worth $200, and therefore the Loiva is claiming that the Malva owes him $100, Valo Amen, the Malva responds to the Loiva, Loi, Ki El Selah Visichalav, while it's true that I lent you $100, but Selah HaYashava, the Mashkin was only worth $100 and I don't owe you anything, potter, that the Malva is potter for making a shvua. And the Gemara asks from Isla Rav Huna, and if the din of Rav Huna is correct, that Mashpina Isay Shvua Shein Rishusai, and Lachir in this case, the Malva should have to make a shvua that the item is not in his Rishus and the item was actually stolen, and then Migur Mishtava Malva Shein Rishusai, and once we're going to require the Malva to make a shvua midrabbanon that this animal is no longer in Rishus, Lishtaba Namia Gilgal Shvua Kama Yeshava, then based on the din of Gilgal Shvua, then the Malva should also be required to make a shvua that this item was actually only worth $100. And as Rashi says, the Gilgal Shvua deraisi, the concept of Gilgal Shvua is deraisa, and l'chayru Rashi is bothered that if the din of Gilgal Shvua is only drabbanon, then l'chayru we're having a takanon takana as the entire shvua she'inu b'shusa is only takanon drabbanon, and then you're going to want to go and use another takanon drabbanon on Gilgal Shvua. But Rashi says that the entire concept of Gilgal Shvua is deraisa, and therefore there is only one din drabbanon, and therefore we should require the malva to make a shvua as to the value of the Pekodin and the value of the Mashkin. And the Gemara continues, Om Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi states, Am Misal Shmaitza Kamed Rav Kana, that I said this member and this question in front of Rav Kana, Va'amali, and he said, Teheba Maminoi, we could explain that the Mishnah in Masechta Shavuos is talking about a case where the Loiva trusted the Malva, and therefore he didn't require the Malva to make a Shvua that the item was no longer in his Rishus. And the Gemara asks, if it's true that the Loiva believed the Malva, and the Hemne Loiva the Malva Nami Baha Kama Avishava, then Lachir, why did the Mishnah state that the Malva is potter from making a Shvua? Because he was kaifa akol, and it's mashma that the Leiva wanted the Malva to make a shvua. If l'chira, we just stated that the Leiva trusts the Malva, and why would the Leiva be asking the Malva to make a shvua? And therefore, it must be that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Leiva did not trust the Malva. And Rav Ashi responded to Rav Kana, like him lebe gavei, that in a chinami, the Leiva trusts the Malva, but the Maisa, the Leiva says to himself that the Malva might not have the facts correct and might not really know how much the value of the Pekodin was, and therefore he wants him to swear that he actually knows what the value is, and he knows that the value of the Mashkin was $100, as he's stating. And similarly, in the Sefer, even though the Loiva may trust the Malva, but now that the Malva was made of a Mixas, therefore the Loiva is requiring the Malva to make a Shvua that he knows that the Mashkin was worth $125 and not $200. And Ayin Rashi, Loikim Le Begavei, Meima Oma Loiva, Loikim Le Malva Begavei the Mashkin, the Loiva feels that the Malva doesn't have an idea of how much the Mashkin is valued at, the Loinos and Daitalov, Le Das Domov, as the Malva doesn't own this item and only took it as a mashkin. Therefore, the Malva really didn't focus as to the value of the mashkin. The Gemara continues by the fact that the Malva is arguing with the Loiva, and the Malva is claiming that this item is only worth $100, while the Loiva, who owned this mashkin and therefore must have known what the value is, he must know that it was worth $200. L'chaira, if the Loiva trusted the Malva, then likelihood is that the Malva also trusted the Loiva, as certainly the Malva lent money to the Loiva, and it must be that they had a relationship and the Malva trusted him. And therefore, l'chaira, since this mashkin belonged to the Loiva, and the Loiva is claiming that the value of the mashkin is $200, so why wouldn't the Malva trust the Loiva, and why are they having this machlekes? And the Gemara explains, Loi Mehemelei, that the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos is talking about a case that although the Loiva trusted the Malva, that it wasn't in Rishus, but the Malva did not trust the Loiva as to the value of the mashkin. And the Gemara asks, Umayshna Loiva, Dom Hemelei Lamalva, and how could it be that we're explaining the Mishnah is talking about a scenario where the Loiva trusted the Malva, Umayshna Malva, Dom Hemelei Loiva, and why is it the Malva doesn't trust the Loiva? And the Gemara explains the difference between the Loiva and Malva based on a Pasuk of Mishlei that states, Tumas Yisharim Tanchem, Veselef Beigdim Yishadim. And as the Gemara states, Loiva Mekayim Beib Malva, Tumas Yisharim Tanchem, that the Loiva applies the beginning of the Pasuk to a Malva who has money and he has good mazel, that since he has good mazel, therefore it must be that he's a straight person, as the Pasuk says, Tumas Yisharim Tanchem, that the people who are upright, they will have good mazel, and therefore the Leiva says, it makes sense for me to trust the Malva, as he must be a Yashar. However, since the Leiva doesn't have money, therefore the Malva is Mekayim Beib Leiva, he actually applies the second part of this Pasuk to the Leiva, as the Pasuk says, Besel Beidim Yishadim, that those that are Beidim and do Averis, they are the ones that will lose their money, and therefore it must be that since the Leiva doesn't have money, he's not a trustworthy person, and that's why the Malva doesn't trust the Leiva. And the Gemara continues, Ahu Gavra da Afka Kipi Gabi Chavre, that Reuven left an earring by his friend for safekeeping, and Shimon was a shemichinam. Amalei havli kipai, and Reuven said to Shimon, "Give me back my earring." Amalei lo yadana hechesvino, and Shimon responded, "I don't know where I placed it, and it was lost." As we know, that a shemichinam is generally potter in a case where he's toying gnev vaveda. However, over here he says that he doesn't know where the item is. And asal kamid Rav Nachman, and they came to Rav Nachman. Amalei Rav Nachman said to them, "Kol lo yadana pshiyusahi zil shlim." That since you're not saying that it was lost, but you're just saying that you don't know where you placed it, and you misplaced it, that is considered pshia, and therefore you have to pay, and that's not considered a taina of gnev vaveda. And the Gemara tells us that even though Rav Nachman paskin that Shimon should pay Reuven, loy shilem, Shimon did not pay Reuven, also Rav Nachman agbe la padimene, and Rav Nachman went and seized the mansion of Shimon in order to give it to Reuven, so Reuven will be paid back for his earring and for his jewelry. And ultimately, at the end result, the actual earring was found, and it went up in value. So at this point, Shimon says that ultimately, since I already paid and I gave my mansion for this earring, I should be able to keep the earring and I should be able to keep the profits and the increase in price of the earring. And Amram Nachman, Rav Nachman did not agree, and he said, Hadri kipa l'marayu v'hadri apadna l'mara. In this case, Shimon has to return the actual earring to Reuven, and Reuven would return the mansion to Shimon, and we would unwind this transaction. Amram Rav, and Rav said, Havisivna kamed Rav Nachman, that we were sitting in front of Rav Nachman, upirkin ha-mafgid hava, and we were learning the parak of ha-mafgid, and I said to him, Shilim v'lei ratzi l'shava. L'chaira, why is this different than our Mishnah? And in our Mishnah, we learned that if Reuven gave an item to Shimon to watch as a shayim chinam, and then the item was lost or stolen, and instead of Shimon swearing that the item was stolen, Shimon went and paid Reuven, then the din is that if we find a ganav, that Shimon would have right to a kefil and dal v'hei. And as we saw in the Gemara, a papa also stated that if there was a shayim chinam that says peshati, and therefore I'm chayiv to pay, even though he couldn't pat himself with the shvua, but ultimately, since he could have lied and said that the item was stolen and patted himself with the shvua, therefore Shimon would also have a right to the kefil. And therefore Rav was bothered that l'chayr in our case, since Shimon ultimately paid Reuven for the earring, so the earring should belong to Shimon, and why is it that Rav Nachman says that we go and return the earring to Reuven? And Ayin and Taisus in Diva Masel v'Svinei Shilem, that l'maisa we explain on Daf Lamed Dalam and Aleph, that the only time that we said the din of the Mishnah was only b'negei kefil and dal v'hei, because it's shvacha da'alma. However, b'negei giz and vlades, which are shvacha de memela, that lemaisa we didn't say that din, and Shimon would not be able to keep the giza and vlades, and l'chayr, the increased value of this earring should be like shvacha de memela. And Taisus says, v'leidami l'giza vlades, the isha shevach nika beguf habehema, that the increased value of the earrings is considered shvacha de alma and not considered shvacha de memela, and gizas and vlades are considered shvacha de memela because of the shvach that's nika in the guf habehema. And Agamar continued that Rav states, v'leihadli, that Rav Nachman did not respond to my question, v'shapa of Hadli, and he was proper for not responding as my time. And what is the difference between our case and the case of the Mishnah? As Hasam Loi Atrichei LeBeidino, as in our Mishnah, Shimon could have patented himself by making a shvua, and instead Shimon immediately said that he will pay Reuven, and since he wasn't causing Reuven any hardship, and Reuven did not have to go to Bezin, therefore originally when Reuven gave this item to Shimon, he was Gomer Makne, and he understood that if I will have an easy time getting back my principal, then Shimon should be able to keep the kefil and dal the hay. However, Hocha Atrichei LeBeidino, in our case, Shimon required Reuven to take him to Bezin and go through the trouble of trying to collect the money from Shimon for his earring, and therefore certainly Reuven was not Gomer Makne, and Shimon would not have a right to the increase of value of the earring. That is not similar to a case where Reuven actually had to take Shimon to Bezin in order to make a shvua. And Rava teaches us in Masechtas Bava Kamma Daf Kuf Ches that Shimon would actually be koyin the kefil. The hostam mishalom b'rtzoinoi. As in that case, although it's true that Reuven had to go to Bezin with Shimon, but ultimately Shimon paid b'rtzoin and he paid willingly. However, Rav Nachman hutzuch lug v'sapadnoi. In our case, Shimon did not want to pay at all, and the only way that Rav Nachman was able to get money from Shimon was by going and seizing his mansion. And the Gemara continues that we saw in this case that Rav Nachman said that even though we took away the mansion from Shimon and we gave it to Reuven, but the end result is once we find the earring, then we would give that back to Reuven, and now Shimon would get back his mansion and his right of redemption. And Lameimah the Sover Rav Nachman the Shumahada, are you telling me that in the case where Reuven lent $1,000 to Shimon and then Shimon couldn't pay, and then Bezin went and seized the item of Shimon's and gave it to Reuven, that Shimon can come and pay $1,000 and redeem this item that was given to Reuven at any later point? And L'chari, it's a machlekes, and L'chari, it should be a right. Rav Nachman holds like the man d'omah that Shuma Hada, and the Gemara answers, Shani Hasan, the Shuma b'taisava, the Kahava Kippa Meikara. Now, this case of Rav Nachman is very different than a regular case of a loan, as in the case of a loan, the borrower doesn't have any money in order to pay the malva at this point, and therefore Bezdin properly sees the assets of the leiva to pay back the chayiv that the leiva owes to the malva. However, in the case of Rav Nachman, where the actual earring was around, and just this person lost it and he couldn't find it, Lamaisa, once we find the earring, then we see that Bezin really didn't have the right to go and seize his nechasim, and they didn't have a right to take this mansion, and therefore, once he finds it, we give him the right of redemption, but it's not necessarily true that Rav Nachman holds generally that Shuma is Hada. As Rashi states, the Now that the Gemara brought in the din of Shuma Hada, the Gemara continues, that they learned in Yeshiva Nadoi that Shuma Hada atres yachi shasa, that there's a right of redemption for 12 months, meaning that if Reuven lent $1,000 to Shimon and Shimon doesn't have the money to pay, and now Bezin goes and seizes the property of Shimon and gives it to Reuven, that Shimon would have up to 12 months to pay Reuven off the full $1,000, and then Shimon will be able to take his property back, and that is called the right of redemption. And the Gemara continues that Meimah will agree that there's a right of redemption in Shuma Hada. However, Zokta Meimah, the Amar Meimah, Nomen Adana, I come from an Adar, Vespirili, and I hold that Shuma Hada Loilam, that the right of redemption is not only up to 12 months, but he could redeem it forever. And the Gemara states, Vehilchasa, and the Allah follows a Meimah, that Shuma Hada Loilam, the reason why we allow the Leiva to be paid to his item and redeem his item forever is Mishum Shinem, is based on a pasuk in Veschana that states, Vasisa Yashiva Toiv. The Gemara continues, Pshita, it's Pashita, Shamle Labachoy, Vazliu, Vishamle Bachoyv Dide. So I'm reading late, Loy Odif At Migavid, the Asus Binei, that if Reuven lent $1,000 to Shimon, and Shimon lent $1,000 to Levi, and then Levi didn't pay back Shimon, and therefore Shimon went, and he was Goyva Levi's property, and now Shimon has the property of Levi, and then Reuven comes to Shimon to collect $1,000 that Shimon owes him, and Shimon doesn't have money, so now Reuven goes and collects the property of Levi from Shimon, and therefore Levi now could take $1,000, go over to Reuven, pay him $1,000, and take back his property, as just like Levi would have been able to go to Shimon and give him $1,000 and take back his property from Shimon. So even though Shimon now transferred the property to Reuven based on a pre-existing chayiv, however, Levi could still go and pay $1,000 to Reuven and redeem his property directly from Reuven. And as Rashi says, this makes sense based on the concept of Sisa Yashav HaTayiv. And the Gemara continues that it's also a Pashatos that Zavna or Yerasa of Yavu Matana Vaday Hanimei Kora Dait Da'aranachas V'Lava Dait Du. Mezuzah Nachas, that if Reuven lent money to Shimon, and now Reuven goes and collects Shimon's property, and then Reuven goes and sells the property to Levi, or in a case where Reuven dies, and Reuven's Yorshim inherit the property of Shimon from their father Reuven, or in a case where Reuven gives the property of Shimon to Levi as a matana, in all those cases, certainly Shimon doesn't have right of redemption, as the only one that Shimon has a right to redeem from is only directly from Reuven. But now that Reuven sold his property, or he gave it to matana, or he was Yerush to Levi, Shimon would not have a right of redemption. And as Rashi explains, that since Levi did not get this kaka based on a previous loan, therefore, when they actually got this kaka, their das was that they're getting the actual kaka. And as Rashi says, sheikach shalem, leishi kablu mois, and they're in intent wasn't to get money. The evil balchayv is be mishum v'sisha yashvatayv. As balchayv at least has a concept of v'sisha yashvatayv, that means loy l'cha love elamayz v'rein l'cha. As it makes sense to say to balchayv that originally you were only intended to get money, and ultimately he's paying you money, and therefore you should give him back his property. Aval elu kaka kanu, but these people actually acquired kaka, and therefore solely based on v'sisha yashvatayv, there's no reason why Levi should have to return this kaka to Shimon. And Taiz is bothered that we always have a svara of ma'moch. And therefore, L'chaira, when Levi bought this field, or he got it matana, or he got it through Yerusha, L'chaira, his rights should only be as good as Reuven's rights. Therefore, Shimon should still have the right of redemption from Levi. And the entire reason why Reuven has to return the Sada for Shimon, if Shimon comes to redeem his Sada, is only based on the concept of Sisa Yashvatayv. Really, Ikadin, Reuven really owns his Sada, and really there should be no right of redemption, and therefore this din of Basisha Yashvatayv only applies directly to Reuven and not to Levi. And the Gemara continues, Shamla Leishav Insaba, if Rachel lent money to Shimon, and Rachel went to Shimon to collect her money, and Shimon said he doesn't have it, and therefore they seized his Nechasim and they seized his assets, and then Rachel got married to Reuven, and as Rashi says, that the Gemara scenario is, Afil Leishav Masal Baila B'Ksubas Elias Nichse Tzembasal Sheikni Elbal, and even in a case where Rachel did not include this asset for Reuven as a part of her ksuba and as part of Nichsei Tzein Basel, where her husband has the right to the guf hakaka, elik vasal atzma liyas nichsei mulog hakaren shalav ha-balei chaperis, and instead she actually kept the guf hakaka for herself and she only gave the right of the peris to her husband based on being nichsei mulog. Or as the Gemara continues, oishamu mina de'isha of Insaba, where Rachel borrowed money from the malva, and then the malva came to Rachel and asked her for his money back and she didn't have it. The malva seized her nechassim, and then Rachel got married, then Umesa, and in both these cases, Rachel ultimately died, and now her husband has a right to Yerusha, and has a right to all of her assets. But the Gemara tells us, Baal b'nichse ishto lekeach habe, that when a husband gets Yerusha from his wife's assets, he's considered like a lekeach, therefore loy mahada v'loy madrinle. So in the first case, where Rachel sees this asset from the borrower, now that Rachel got married, and then she died, so therefore her husband is considered like a lekeach, and the loyva would no longer have a right of redemption. And similarly, in the second case, where the Malva came and seized the assets of Rachel, and since ultimately Rachel got married and then she died, so therefore her husband has no right of redemption, as Lamaisi is considered Lekech, and the Lekech doesn't have a right of redemption, and he can go and pay the Malva and take this asset back from the Malva. And the Gemara explains, the Amr Rabbi Yisrael Bechina, this is based on the Din Rabbi Yisrael Bechina, that Be'usha Eskinu, that they made a Takana in Usha, which was one of the 10 places that the Sanhedrin went to Golas prior to Churban Bayis Sheni, and they were Mesakin, the Isha Shemacher, Benisra Mulug, Bechaya Bayis. If a woman sells her nichsim lug during the lifetime of her husband and then she dies, habal meitzim yada lekuchais, the husband has the right to go and take it from lekuchais. As lemaisa, he is considered the first lekech. Therefore, it's as if he had a lien against his property even prior to the person that his wife sold the asset to, and therefore his rights takes precedence over the lekech. And we continue on daf lamed hayom beis. And although in the first three cases that we just mentioned, it was pashut as to what the din was, however, the gemara continued. Then the next case, there will be a machlekes between Rab Achan Ravina, as Agbe Ivu Chayvay Pligibur Rab Achav Ravina. Now, though certainly in the case where Bezin had to go and seize the assets of the Leiva, so the Leiva really did not want to give this asset to the Malva, and therefore we can understand that the Leiva will still have a right of redemption. However, the Gemara asks, what would be a din if the Leiva voluntarily goes and tells the Malva, I don't have any money, and therefore I'm going to give you this asset in exchange for paying you back the full $1,000? And Pligibur Rab Achav Ravina, and his machlik is between Rab Achav Ravina and Chad Omer Hodra v'Chad Omer Lo Yodra, that one says that there's still a right of redemption and the other says there is no right of redemption. And the Gemara explains, Manda Omer Lo Yodra Sava Haizvinim Aliyhi Dhamedait Nafshe Agbe, that since the Loiva voluntarily gave this kaka to the Malva, so certainly we should look at it as if the Loiva sold sold this karka to the malva, and therefore the loiva should not have a right of redemption. However, uman dama loy hadra, and according to the man dama that says that there is no right of redemption, sava he holds leiz bina malihu is not really a valid sale. Behind the agbe midaite v'le osaladina machas b'kisufa who the agbe, and the reason why the loiva went and voluntarily gave this soda to the malva was not because he really wanted to, but the maisa he didn't want to have to go to bezin, as it would be embarrassing for him that bezin will have to come and seize his asset, and therefore he wanted to do it quietly and just make a side deal with the malva and give him this property. But ultimately he didn't really want to do this, and therefore he still would have a right of redemption. And the Gemara continues that when Bezdin goes and seizes a property from a loiva on behalf of a malva, there's an entire process as to how that works, and therefore the Gemara asks, when is it that the malva has a right to start eating peris from this field and having benefits from the profits of the field? And Rabba Omer, Rabba states, from when Bezdin already gives him a document and says that you have a right to go and be goyva a field. As Rashi points out, that this takes place 90 days after Psak Din, that we give the loiva 90 days in order to go and pay back the malva, and if he doesn't pay it back, then the malva could get a shtar drachta, which allows him to go and find the assets of the loiva and eventually be able to seize those assets. And even though at that point he actually doesn't know which asset of the loiva he will take, and he may not even know that the loiva has any assets, but from that point he has a right to the profits of the asset. And Ayin and Biri Shainim, who argue on Rashi, and they say it doesn't make sense that a malva will be able to receive the profits from a piece of land prior to him even knowing which piece of land he's going to get, Ayin Shum, as to how they learn our Gemara. And the Gemara continues, Abaya, Abaya states, Eda b'chasum and zochloi, that Abaya argues in Rava, and he says that the malva has right to the profits and to the increased value of this property even prior to the malva receiving the shtar drachta, and even from the point that the Edom signed onto the shtar drachta, and even though the shtar was not yet delivered to the malva. Finally, Rava Omer, Rava states, b'chishlimu yumei achrasta, that the malva does not have right to any profits of this property until after the malva actually identifies a piece of property that he wants to seize, and he goes to Bezdin. Then Bezdin announces and publicizes that there will be a foreclosure sale, and then if at that point the malva goes to the foreclosure sale and his bid is the highest bid, then he would actually keep the kaka, and at that point he would have all rights to the peiros of the kaka, but not prior to that. And as Rashi brings in Masechtas Erechim Mefarish Kama Yom Machrizin BePerek Shema Yisaimim, that in Masechtas Erechim we explain how many days Bezdin would announce there would be a foreclosure sale, but Adishol Muhanach Yomei have a period of leiva. Until that point, the period still belonged to the leiva and not to the malva. And before we start the Mishnah, let's remember that a seicha has a din either like a shem chinam or like a shem esacha. In either case, a seicha is definitely potter from ointzin. However, shoyel is kol anoshloi and therefore is even chayiv ba'intzin. And therefore, our Mishnah states a seicha parim mechaveir v'shil lacha. If Shimon rents a cow from Reuven and then Shimon lends it to Levi and umesa kedaka, and then the par dies in a normal fashion, so of course, as a seicha, the seicha would be potter because he's potter for ointzin, and therefore yishava seicha shemesa kedaka. The seicha could go and swear to Reuven that this animal died in a normal way, and therefore he will be potter. Vashoyel yisham l'seicha, but ultimately a shoyel is chayiv in ointzin, and therefore since Levi borrowed this animal from Shimon, so Levi will have to pay Shimon for the value of the parah. And the Mishnah states, Amar Rabbi Yisi argued in the Tanakam, and he says, Ketzah lo isin schar b'parashi shachaveri el tachse parah l'baylim, that certainly it doesn't make sense that Shimon would have a right to do any business with Reuven's animal, and even though Shimon lent the parah to Levi, but Levi will not have to make the payment for the parah to Shimon, and instead Levi will have to pay Reuven. And keep in mind that in the Gemara and Daflam of Avamnav, the Gemara will discuss that l'chayr, if someone rents something from someone, they can't just go and lend it. And how could the Mishnah give us a case where Shimon rented this parah from Reuven, and then Shimon went and lent the parah to Levi? And Ayin Rabbeinu Chananel, who brings down the Akuma Rabami, that Rabami will explain, Bishinasla Bailam Mishos, Kagain Sha'amloi Ledaitai, Klaimim Mutzecha, Lashilloi Havishos Biodcha, that the case is where Reuven told Shimon that I'm renting it to you, and if you want to go and lend it to someone else, I'm giving you that Rishos. And even so, Rabbi Yasi still says that even though Reuven gave Rishos to Shimon to go and lend it, but certainly Reuven didn't want Shimon to make money off this transaction, and therefore, since Levi will pay back the value of the parah, certainly that money has to be paid back directly to Reuven, as certainly Reuven did not mean that Shimon could go and make money from this transaction. And Ayin and Taizah Shans, who says, V'shem ha'ayin ta'imid Rabbi Yasi, d'chashuv seicha k'shluchi shel maskir Ayin Shom. And our Gemara begins, Omle Rav Yidba Oven L'Abaya. Rav Yidba Oven asked the following question to Abaya, that according to the Tanakhama, that the show would make the payment to the seicha. Mechtei, let us see, seicha b'may koni l'hai parah b'shvua, how is the seicha koni this parah, that he has a right to take the money from Levi based on the fact that he made a shvua that this animal died kedaka, v'nemele maskil seicha, and l'chir let Reuven say to Shimon, Dal ant v'dal shvuaseich, I don't care about you and I don't want your shvua, v'anah mashtina dina b'adi shoyal, I want to ignore you and I want to go and directly have a din Torah with the shoyal, and therefore the shoyal will have to pay me. And the Gemara explains, Amalei, Abai responds to Rav Yehuda bar Avin, mi savrit seicha b'shvua d'kakonilei, who said that the reason why the seicha has a right to the money from Levi, from the shoyal, is based on the fact that he made a shvua to Reuven that this animal is mesa kedaka, and therefore I'm an oinis and I'm pata mishas misu dekani. That in reality, the moment that this animal died, Shimon was koining the animal. As lemaisa, the Torah teaches us that a seicha is pata from paying for an animal that's mesa kedaka, where an oinis occurred to the animal. Even though it's true that the Torah is mechayev a seicha to make a shvua, and the Torah obligates him to make a shvua sashemim. However, shvua kedei lahafis daita shel balabayis. The only reason why the Torah said that Shimon is chayev to make a shvua is only in order that Reuven shouldn't taina that really you owe me this money because you were pesheya, and therefore the Torah says that Shimon has to make a shvua that he was not pesheya and that he's potter. However, ultimately Shimon owns this animal, and therefore Shimon has a right to go to Levi and tell Levi that since I lent this parah to you and the shoyl is chayev in all einsin, therefore you're chayev to make a payment directly to me and not to Reuven. And the Gemara now continues and discusses another scenario where someone rents an animal and then lends the same animal back to someone. And Rab Zera teaches us, Pa'amim Shabailim Shalman Kama Paras L'Seicha, there can be a case where the lesser and the actual owner of the animal will be responsible to pay many paras to the person whom he rented his own para to. And he explains, Hechidami, and what is the scenario? And Rab Zera now brings a very interesting case, Agri Minei Mei Yoimi, and Hada Shaili Minei Tishin Yoimi, and Hada Agri Minei Tamin Yoimi, and Hada Shaili Minei Shivin Yoimi, Umesa Betechi Mei Sheilasa, that Kol Sheilu Vesheilu Mechayev Chada Para. Reb Zera's case is as follows. If Reuven rents a parah from Shimon to use for 100 days, and let's keep in mind that if at that moment the parah would die, then Reuven would not be chayiv to pay Shimon back for his parah because Shimon is a seicha, and a seicha is not chayiv for insin, and therefore all Reuven would have to do is swear that it was mesa kedaka, and he would be potter. However, a moment later, Shimon then asked Reuven for a favor, and Shimon asked Reuven to borrow his own cow that he just rented to Reuven for 90 days of the 100 days that Reuven just rented the par from Shimon. And of course Shimon also tells Reuven that after I use it for 90 days and I borrow it for 90 days, I will return it to you for the last 10 days as you have a right to keep this par up until day 100. And of course at this point Shimon has the right to use this par for 90 days, and after the 90 day period Reuven will now have a right to use the par for the 10 day period since he rented this animal from Shimon for 100 days. And of course if this par dies within the first 90 days, then as the Mishnah taught us, since Shimon is a shoyal, therefore he's chayiv ba'insin, and since the parah died while Shimon was a shoyal, therefore Shimon will be responsible to pay back the parah to Reuven. As Rashi says, it doesn't make a difference if the shoyal was someone else or was actually the original owner, and the din is still the same, that Shimon will be chayiv to pay a parah back to Reuven. L'chayr, even though Rashi doesn't make this point, but l'chayr, Shimon would also have to give another parah to Reuven for the days of the schiras that he promised Reuven and that Reuven paid for, which is from day number 90 through day number 100. And Reb Zera now continues that if on the same day that Reuven originally rented a par from Shimon for 100 days, and then Shimon borrowed a par from Reuven for 90 days, and now Reuven once again rents the par from Shimon for 80 days, and Reuven pays Shimon for this rental once again, certainly if the par would now die at this point, then Reuven would be pater legamri, since the par was mesa kedaka, and a seicha is pater me'insin, as long as he makes a shvuas hashemim that this par was mesa kedaka. However, since it is still during Shimon's period of Sheila, so Shimon would still be chayiv to give Reuven one para because the para died and the Sheila is chayiv ba'insin. And since Shimon also rented a cow to Reuven from day number 90 through day number 100, therefore Shimon would still have to provide Reuven another cow for this time frame in order to work for Reuven from day 90 through day number 100. And Reb Zera now continues and finalizes his case that if on the same day that Shimon once again rents the para to Reuven, that Shimon once again asks Reuven to borrow the para for 70 days, and he would return to Parah to Reuven for day 70 to day 80, and Reuven agrees. So Reb Zera teaches us that if the Parah would die during the first 70 days when it is in the Rishus of Shimon, so once again, since Reuven is only a Seicha and the Parah was Mesa Kedaka, so certainly Reuven isn't Chayiv to replace the Parah of Shimon at all, since the Parah died and the renter is Pantum Ba'insin, and Reuven would just have to make a Shvuas HaShemim that this cow was Mesa Kedaka. However, since Shimon actually borrowed this Parah from Reuven two times, and the par is no longer be'en, therefore Shimon has the obligation to return two paris to Reuven, since Shimon was a shoyal and the shoyal is chayiv ba'intzin, and therefore Shimon would have to give two cows to Reuven that Reuven could keep. And in addition, since Reuven rented this parah from Shimon on two different occasions, and Reuven has a right to use this parah from day number 70 to day 80, and from day number 90 to day 100, therefore Shimon also had to provide two different parahs to Reuven to use during those two periods of time. Or of course, he could provide one parah from day number 70 to 80, and he would provide that parah once again from day number 90 to day number 100. And the Gemara continues, Amalei Rav Achim Medifti L'Ravina. So Rav Achim Medifti said to Ravina, that L'chir, this svar of Zira doesn't make sense, as Mechtei Chad Depari, that L'mai said it was only one par involved, Ayla V'Afka, and all that occurred was that they brought it in and took it out of different statuses. And as Rav Achim Medifti explains, Afka Mischiris for Ayla She'ela, as originally Reuven rented this par from Shimon, and then he took it out from Mischiris, and he gave it back to Shimon, B'Tar She'ela, and then Afka Mesh'ela, V'Ayla Mischiris, and they then changed the status of this animal from a din of a barua to a din of a seicha once again. And l'chir l'fizeh, all that should occur is that Shimon should only have to pay for one para that died, and l'maisa he only borrowed one para, and of course Shimon should also be responsible to give one para to Reuven to use for 20 days. The Gemara continues, Amalei, so Ravina responded to Rav Acha, and he comes to defend the position of Rav Zeira, umi isel para be'ena, the name of l'hachi, that is the para be'en, that you could say such a concept, and certainly since the para is not be'en, therefore Shimon would have a responsibility to give two paras to Reuven, and Shimon would also have to give a parah to Reuven to use for 20 days. And the Gemara continues, Mar Bav Ashi agrees to Rav Achim Diftei, and he argues with Rav Zeira, and he says, In Le'alein El Shtei Paras, that the only claim that Reuven has against Shimon is for two paras, Chod de She'ela v'Chod de Schiris, one for the fact that Shimon borrowed a parah from him, and therefore Shimon is chayiv to pay it back because it was Mesa, but a Shoyl is chayiv ba'intzin, and Shimon would also be responsible to give one parah to Reuven based on his Schiris, and Reuven would be able to use that parah for 20 days. And as Mar Bar Vashi explains, Shum Sheil Achasi v'Shum Schiris Achasi, the reason is because ultimately Shimon only borrowed one parah from Reuven, and he only rented one parah to Reuven, and therefore, as we said, She'ela Kadi L'Gamri, that the parah that Shimon is chayiv to give to Reuven based on the fact that he borrowed this parah from Reuven, so Reuven would be Kadi L'Gamri, and the Schiris and the parah that Shimon would have to give Reuven for the time that he rented a parah from him, then Reuven will be able to use that parah for 20 days, and then I'll have to return it to Shimon, and we will stop over here.